So an absolute cracking episode today. We had the privilege to chat to Matt Kempson, obviously just fresh off the back of doing the Murph record with Hunter McIntyre. We had a great little chat with him about that attempt, also his design business and his passion behind that, and just racing in general. How did you find it, Jack?
I think actually, Luke, I've got a new favourite. I really like Matt. I don't know how it took us so freaking long to get him on. I mean, we've been doing this podcast nearly 2 years now, and yeah, we finally just sort of clicked, didn't we? It was like, oh, I think we're missing someone here. We've had your brother on a couple of times, if not three times. Let's get you on, Matt. And yeah, what a chat, what a legend. And you forget how long he's been in the sport. I mean, he's been in there from the start, you know. And what I love about Matt is he loves a bit like me, like why I'm in the sport. He loves a challenge, and he'll go full gun blazing. And let's be fair, the guy's got some knowledge, because look at the talent that he is spending time with. You know, even now with Johnny and Hunter and Nicole and Dylan, all that knowledge that he's got, you know, under one roof.
Oh, yeah.
Is incredible. But you know, we'd all dream to live in that house, wouldn't we? Let's be fair.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm most jealous of. Him being able to train day in, day out with like
top
all of those top athletes, and just having those opportunities to learn from all of them as well.
And do you know what? I think he loves it. I think he generally does love it. And even when I said to him, like, you know, what have you found your sport? A part of him said yes, but in the same time, he still wants more. He's still hungry to go and get that next challenge, no matter what it will be. And I'm sure there'll be something next that him and Hunter both decide they want to go and smash and, you know, crack and beat. But what a guy to chat to. Lots of motivation. And obviously, really down to earth. Normal job as well, you know, works hard. Obviously, as you mentioned, with Kempson Designs, got his own OCR designing product as well. So doing something he loves within a sport he loves. Love this episode.
So you'll enjoy it, guys.
Here it is then. Here's Matty Kempson, episode 104.
I was snuggling with my cat. We were having a little sleep in.
Mr. Kempson snuggling his pussy. Johnny.
Oh, Jack, you had to take it that low, didn't you?
Before Matt did.
I have a really bad feeling that you three are going to be trouble.
Trouble? How? Never. What's wrong with that?
It's a good thing I'm one of the lads. I have to be to put up with these two. I had a reunion with my dog the other day just to say, talk about cats. Did you see the video? It was so heartfelt.
What?
You had a little talk about cats with your dog?
Dog? I haven't seen him in weeks.
So you spoke about cats with him?
No, we were just talking about pets, you know, with the quarantine. I've not seen him in weeks. But I met up with him the other morning. It was amazing. Anyway.
You have to explain to our listeners that you don't live with your dog.
I don't live with my dog.
Yeah, the listeners are like, thinking, why doesn't she have to quarantine?
He now lives with my friend who has, four or five other dogs. So he lives in a pack now. And we decided they were so happy together that we couldn't separate them.
So that's really sad.
Don't even go there.
It's so nice for that bit when we went
started something now.
This
could be 30 minutes of the podcast.
I mean, we'll obviously get into this, Matt, but I want to know first thing, when I was watching the Murph the other day that you guys were doing,
straight in there, Jack.
We'll come back to this later, but what I'm asking is, I was thinking, were you guys not social distancing? Do you not have to in that state where you were? Or
so we I'll give like I don't know what your situation I don't know what your situation is over there in the UK, but we basically cracked down really hard for like a month and a half where you really weren't supposed to do anything. They didn't, a lot of states closed down trails and everything. And just this past like 2 weeks, they've started to open things up. Bars and restaurants are starting to open up.
Oh, okay.
There's still like some regulations where you have to wear masks in grocery stores. You know, tables have to be a certain amount distance from each other, but
definitely not.
So we're friends with the owner of that gym. So it was not like an official, business, open business time. Anyway, so he can kind of do whatever he wants. And I think there's, there's certain regulations on like the size of a gathering you can have in public, but it, within your own like private property or private residence, you can do whatever you want.
And then he sprayed you down with disinfectant when you came in.
They actually, they did. They have like a big giant pump thing with like a, almost like a big weeder that you spray on like weeds. And they were spraying down all the bars and the floor and everything. So we were making a sweaty mess of everything.
You sure that was just baby oil?
it was probably just water. I wonder about some of these anti-COVID, you know, methods, if they're actually really doing anything, or they're just like spreading it around and like.
Oh yeah, well, if it goes, you don't want to listen to.
I think we just took the lead for like the most COVID deaths in the world. Yeah. The US did. Yeah. So I don't know if we should be proud or what.
It's probably more deadly living with Hunter. So
that were, oh my God. He was like trying to tame the wind when this whole thing first broke out. We like, it actually caused a lot of rift between us for a little while because, and I have a lot of family who are nurses and, you know, have to be out working during this stuff. So I was trying to be as careful as possible. And Hunter's just like, let's go to the coffee shop. Let's go like here. Let's go hug this person, kiss this person. And I'm like, oh my God. But eventually we finally got on the same page with things. And I'm to the point where like, I think the world needs to go back to at least close to normal. You know, people still need to be safe and like be careful and whatnot. But I'm tired of like, we'll be running out on the trails around here and people will like, they cover their face as you're passing them. And they like yell mean things at you because you don't have a mask. And if you know like anything about science, it's like two people running full speed, passing each other at 10 feet on opposite sides of the trail. It's literally impossible to contract anything.
Yeah.
And like the fact that people are just being like mean and angry, and rather than like when the whole thing first started, it was like this like big, everybody come together as one and let's fight this thing. And now it's like everybody's just like tearing each other's eyeballs out.
Unless you're another runner. I've noticed actually all the other runners are now actually waving and saying hi to each other.
Yeah, but everyone's a bloody runner now. Everyone's a bloody runner. It's like, the COVID's made
they
runners.
Won't give it up, Jack.
Anyway, let's go back to where we were at the start. Matt Kempson, the better Kempson, if you ask me.
the prettier Kempson.
Or is it, we've had, what was it, Matt calls you the fat one.
Does he call him the fat one? Is it the fat
one? Yeah, he calls him the fat one and Ryan the ugly one. That's why he's on this podcast, not his.
I always care a little bit extra on me, just in case.
Just in case there's concept. Just...
You've still got the weight vest on then.
That's right.
I was thinking about this though, because you and Ryan, clearly very close in age, pretty close in genetics, but you're very different body types. And it's shown the difference in your training for different types of sport.
For sure.
It's amazing. And sorry, Ryan, I'm not calling you skinny.
Oh, he is skinny. I call him skinny every day. That's all right.
But isn't Matt, if we remember rightly, if we go back to Jack Bauer's stats, I think Matt is the winner head-to-head on the brother?
By a mile. Yeah. It's probably like 30 to 35 to 5 or something like that. Maybe like 38 to 2. It was not many.
I mean, that's definitely stuff we want to dig into. But what I'm more interested in, if you weren't talking to OCR Audio right now, what would Friday consist for Matt Kempson right now? You're waking up. What's it consist of?
Take out the trash. The house is quiet. Johnny's out on a run. We're taking out the trash. I usually wake up. I like to have nice, slow mornings. I make myself a cup of tea. I have some oatmeal, some cereal, you know, maybe an egg sandwich if I'm feeling it. And then I get right to work. I'll get a training session in the morning, usually strength in the morning. And then I get to, usually working on whatever project I got going on. Right now I'm doing, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the OCR Open competition they started this spring. So, Luca, who, and his wife started that, they live in Longmont, Colorado, which is about 30 minutes away. Mm-hmm. And they're planning on having sort of a OCR games, kind of like after the CrossFit games model next year up there. And they're going to use the OCR Open as a qualifier for that. And mm-hmm. so I'm working on building the rig and some of the equipment for actually hosting that event up there next year. Nice. So I've got my main metalworking shop is down in Denver, about 30 minutes away. But I've also have like a little sort of backyard shop where I can just do some like small R&D type stuff and be out in the sunshine. So that's probably where I'll get started on as soon as I get off the phone with you guys.
Sweet. And you do everything yourself, don't you? From design all the way through to build.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that an actual skill of yours, Matt? Or is it just come from a hobby?
No, he's
or
crap
is it...
at it.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, is it a skilled job? Have you gone to college coach?
Yeah. I went to school for mechanical engineering. I specialized more in like aerospace with that. But then for my day job for the last 7 years, I've worked in product design, designing, prototyping and bringing to market manufacturing equipment.
Right.
And I've been doing that for, like I said, about 7 years. And on the side, I've always been super, super creative and, you know, making kind of any idea that popped in my head, I tried to bring it to life. And then it was about 2 years ago, I was like, you know what? I got to mesh this fitness and obstacle racing world with the engineering world. And that's, first big project was OCR NORAMs last year.
Yeah.
So we saw one of your obstacles at the, was it OCRW? No, NORAMs last year.
It was NORAMs up in Stratton, yeah.
What kind of thing behind the obstacles is it? Is there a certain type of obstacles that you like to build? Something a bit more upper body and technical? Or is it broad? Do you not mind? You just no ideas?
No, I actually do have a very... specific mindset, maybe you'd call it, when I'm building any type of obstacle. And I've been in this industry for a long time, and I've seen a lot of different companies come and go, and I've seen what's successful and what's not successful. And the direction I believe like the sport needs to head is obstacles that reward athleticism is the term I always use. Because you can build the hardest obstacle in the world that doesn't necessarily, it might just reward one very specific skill set. It might be like, if you're a really, really good climber, you can get through this. Or if you're really, really, really strong, you can get through this. But sort of something that tests a well-rounded athlete and something that someone who is a good, aggressive athlete can get through faster, a lot faster than someone who's not an aggressive athlete. And sort of because what I'm seeing in this sport, and it's a big reason why I've gone towards the more like strength, shorter event side of things, is that the main Spartan circuit is becoming so much more runner friendly. And I think there's reasons for that and whatnot, but it's kind of getting away from what I've noticed, what I always loved about the sport, and sort of like a grittiness, toughness, a demand for pure athleticism. So anytime I'm contracted to build an obstacle, I really try to reward athleticism. So like, for example, with Underdog, and I put up some posts about this, but basically almost anybody could get through it. Who had, you know, a decent amount of strength or grip or whatever. It wasn't that difficult, but the difference between moving through it really fast and moving through it slow, was massive. It was like 5 seconds versus 30 seconds, which can, you know, make or break a race for somebody. So that's like, I try to sort of steer the industry in that direction of breeding. So, I mean, I could really rant on this for a while, but I'll cap it with this. The best way I can put it is like Spartan and all these companies have the opportunity to sort of create their own sport. You know, they have a great following. They have a lot of really, really good athletes that pursue it at a professional level as well. And I believe that the athletes in the sport will adapt to whatever the sport is. If the sport is really, really difficult, the athletes are just going to get tougher. If the sport is really fast, they're going to get faster. If it's really requires, you know, the athletes will adapt. And what I'm seeing is, and I think it's because they make most of their money off of the masses, all of these sports are sort of watering down and like catering to, okay, well, what percentage of people got to this obstacle? Not that many. We're going to cut that out, yeah. Rather than setting this high standard and making athletes rise to the occasion. So that's, I try to, anything I put out there, I try to really like set a high bar for.
I think the reason for that as well, Matt, is because unfortunately OCR isn't quite the sport, especially the UK. It is slightly different in the US, but we're not quite to the level yet where we have the number of top athletes that are going to make it a decent sport. Does that make sense? Like, for instance, like you say, Spartan need the money, need the masses. So they're going to water it down so they can get more people in. I know personally, I love Spartan in the UK for sure. And I've loved it for the last 3 or 4 years because actually it's made me adapt as a person, as an athlete. You know, I've had to work on different things to be good at this sport. It isn't just your normal 5K, 10K. You know, there is things. And this, I still think in the UK, I don't know if you've, I know you were in the UK, weren't you, for the World Champs a couple of years ago. But if you ever head to a Spartan UK, I still do think they do have that aspect of rawness. I do think we have that quite well. It doesn't always reward the fastest runner. It does, but it doesn't. The obstacles are still telling. And interesting, like something like a balance beam. I'm still amazed, a bit like you were saying, how underdog takes potentially 5 seconds or 30 seconds. For me, a simple balance beam can be that. You know, if people don't train a balance beam, they get to a balance beam, they take 30 seconds to get over it. Someone that knows about the obstacles, pretty good at balance, will fly over that, you know, fairly quickly. And I quite like that aspect of OCR that actually, and I really, in fact, I could do with you in the UK, to be fair, Matt. I've got a training facility and I could just have you all day just building rigs. That'd be great. So if you ever want to come to the UK, mate.
That's my dream, man.
Before we move too far away from the obstacle design, so the one that you built for the NORAM Championships, how amazed were you at the way Aaron Newell attacked that obstacle?
Because wasn't it?
Talking about the speed of an obstacle, like athleticism. Yeah. He basically just did exactly what you were saying. If he attacked it aggressive,
that made me so. And there were a few other guys who were really. Really displayed some athleticism there, but that's exactly what I wanted to show, because I mean, Aaron's been racing for a few years now, and that's the first time most people have seen him display that sort of athleticism. And it's not because he didn't have it. It's just because he finally had an outlet. You know, he had an opportunity where like, I mean, for example, the Spartans and Spartans' newest obstacle last year was the pipe layer. Which is like, come on. Like, you know, like,
no matter who you are, it's going to take you the same amount of time to get through that.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Hunter and Matthew might struggle with their shoulders.
Hunter might be the one exception. he finds a way to fuck everything up. So excuse my language.
For example, Atkins and Aaron, both great athletes, but I did notice Atkins took a lot longer through it, not ages.
Yeah.
But 5-10 times longer than Aaron, even though they're both great athletes. It's not actually, like you're saying, the athleticism. Whereas Spartan,
well, and I think it,
don't do that.
Exactly. And it comes from, I think that Atkins has such a strong climbing background that he might be able to get through more difficult obstacle, you know, something that's nearly impossible, like you might say. But slowly, you know, climbing, unless you're a speed climber, isn't about speed. It's just about, you know, just moving through things. Whereas I know Aaron comes from, I think he has a lacrosse background, some other ball sports where like that speed and agility is a lot more important.
Well, Atkins just got that raw grip strength and bicep strength. He doesn't need to, he can just muscle his way through.
And so it's the confidence as well. Do you know, like, a part of me thinks that Aaron, because he knows you so well, you know, did he go into that having so much confidence that he was happy to just to jump and do it and get through it, you know, whereas someone else might back off a little bit. But Aaron, I mean, we all know Aaron quite well. He's exudes confidence. You know, the guy is the most confident racer I've ever met. Sometimes overconfident, but...
Lashing the monkey in freezing cold weather. Yeah no biggie.
Yeah, exactly.
So Matt, are there any obstacles on the horizon, or can you not talk about them, or is there anything interesting coming?
I'll talk about one. I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about it or not, because it's not official, but I'm kind of just trying to pound it from every angle till it becomes official.
No one listens, don't worry.
Yeah, fine.
So Adrian and I talked about designing a short course for OCR WC 2020 out in, which is in Stratton again. Mm-hmm. And I got really excited about that because it is an opportunity for me to really showcase the type of obstacle I want to see in racing.
You say 100 meter short course or 3K? Like 100 meters.
100 meter.
Yeah.
100 meter. Because from what I saw from last year's 100 meter course, I think, what was it? 10, was it 10 obstacles?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just like what I was talking about, a lot of them were really slow. There were, I think there were nets in three or four of them. Yeah. And nets are just notoriously like the slowest type of obstacle you can possibly have. And my vision for a 100 meter course is like a sprint. I don't know if you guys have ever seen those like Brazilian firefighter time trials.
Yeah.
Where they like, yeah, they like run and they throw the ladder up and they sprint up. Like, and it's just like, oh my God, this is like incredible. Like, this is something that is really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And so not quite to that level, you know, I'm talking about more of like an OCR level, but everything that would be in my course would be move very fluidly. And the winner would be like under 60 seconds, probably like 50 seconds. So really, really, really fast. And what I love about that distance is that basically, you know, from like a metabolic standpoint, like anything you get above, anytime you get above 90 seconds, you know, you're all of a sudden you're going aerobic and everything slows down and you lose your explosiveness. And really like the only way to get a really like high intensity, high energy event where there's lots of like explosion and quick movements and people making big moves is to keep it under, you know, well under 90 seconds.
So if you were putting money down, who, anyone in the world, would you think would win your course? So you've got Fold, yourself, Aaron.
Do you guys have any,
Leon.
Okay.
I think Leon definitely from Europe was got to be one of our fastest on the men's side. I think I know Aaron's going to go me, and I do think Aaron would be in the mix, but I don't think
Aaron's not fast enough. I honestly think that Mac
Roche,
might be a favorite.
He weighs three times what Leon does.
It doesn't matter. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter for that distance. Look at sprinters.
Yeah.
Sprinters weigh three times as much as distance runners, and they're way faster.
And to be fair, Thomas Van Tonder killed Leon at last year's short course. You know, Thomas Van Tonder is not small.
No, he's 6 foot.
I'm trying to think of who really has speed. And Mac's the only one that comes to mind.
Can't image Mac Roche having that much pace on obstacles. I need to
hop over to his Instagram.
It's
kind of hard to fathom, but
I love Mac. I love interviewing Mac. He's such the sweetest guy in the world, and he's a big friendly joy.
Well, so we did when we were doing TMX back in 2018, you know, Mac was there for all the events and Mac blew every one of us out of the water for the first 400 meters.
No.
I mean, just like he would out sprint everybody. He would do the first, you know, two workout stations way faster than everybody. And then he'd hit this wall about 2 minutes in and just collapse.
Yeah.
But he, that, you know, that's all he needs is, you know, that 60 second, 90 second speed.
So you've pretty much done every single thing out there, haven't you, mate? You've done, I'm not going to call it stadium, the longer stuff like Killington, Pyrox, TMX. What is your favorite and what would you like to, if you could only do one and TMX coming back, which would it be?
I mean, it would obviously be TMX coming back. That was just like, there's never been an event like that. But for what's out there right now, it's a pretty tight toss up between the Spartan Stadium and Hyrox, I think. The stadium is just like, has a very unique feel to it because it's such high paced. It's in a stadium, which is like, you know, just like the energy of that, like being I'm a big baseball and football fan. So being able to be in some of the stadiums of teams that I love, like, it's really awesome. And then Hyrox, I was excited about Hyrox from like a competitive standpoint. I'm like, this is pretty up my alley. It requires a lot of strength, a lot of endurance, but I didn't think it was going to be that fun. You know, I kind of thought it was just going to be like this big grind suffer fest, but it was actually one of the most fun things I've done, as far as competitions go, because it was an hour long. So like the longer races, you have a little bit more time to like, kind of, I don't want to say take in what's going on, but you can kind of enjoy it a little bit more. You remember it a little better. But it was because you're constantly switching between the station and the running, everything was high intensity. So it was like an hour of like, it never got boring. You know, you were never like, I mean, I love running the mountains, but you were never like on this, you know, 30 minute jaunt in the middle of a race, you know, around some loop where you didn't see anybody for an hour, you know, everything was like bam, 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 bam. And insanely hard. But probably one of the most fun things I've done.
And you're also working with
me until the sled crushed me.
Yeah, little old Luke that thinks sled an inch.
It was the sled and the pool. They were the two bits that took my soul, but the rest of it was really fun.
Yeah, that's and that's what's I think really cool about it is that there hasn't I guess you could say TMX, but even with TMX, like you could move through everything just slower. Mm. But if you don't have the power, you can't move that sled. Like,
no,
it's not
I honestly would pay. I'd bet £1,000. I would not move it an inch. There's just no way. I'm too small.
I almost didn't, but then it took me ages. But
it's heavy.
I'd love to try it, but I'd finish at that point.
How heavy is it? Do we know how heavy?
For the women, is it
480 kilograms? Something like that.
Is it 275 for the women?
It's 450 pounds for the men, and I think maybe 350 for the women.
Right, I'm gonna go load my sled up when I get back.
Have you seen the Deca Fit Mile they're doing in Jacksonville?
Yeah, so I built the one of the obstacles for that event. We just loaded up on a truck and sent down there yesterday.
You don't fancy that one?
I do. It's just a different event. And I actually think it's going to be really cool because like you mentioned that the new Deca Fit Mile they're doing is much less running. And they actually have one called Deca Strong where there's no running and it's just, you move from station to station to station. And I think that's really cool because it's going to bring in even another type of athlete. Mm-hmm. I think they're really going to appeal to the CrossFit style athlete. Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, something that all these companies have been really missing the ball on. Because, I mean, CrossFit is the biggest market outside of, you know, obstacle racing for this type of, like, functional fitness. And there's very little crossover. I mean, how many people from, you know, even your friends from a local CrossFit gym have come to an event and even, like, done remotely well? Mm. You know, maybe an age group, you know, at an event where there's not really many people there. But even age group, it's pretty rare to see unless they have some kind of a strong running background. Yeah. But this will allow people with, you know, who are really into CrossFit and don't have any competition all year long, except for the CrossFit Open and maybe one local competition, you know, they'll be able to compete at this, at DecaFit and do well, you know, like be really get into it.
I think it'd be cool to be able for some people who are doing a traditional Spartan, but would actually prefer something like that, people will be able to start specializing now because there'll be so much more on offer. Whereas at the minute, you're kind of forced to go in something that's not what you guys would call your wheelhouse. Like you, Luke, you're for things like DecaFit or the strong stuff and the short course, you'd be brilliant at that. Not saying you're not good at the long stuff, but you might be able to go,
oh, shit. More,
there's more here where if I, that's what I... If that's where my passion is...
She's calling you fat and slow.
It's fat and slow, basically. Yeah.
Well, after lockdown, you never know.
But you can specialize and have something really competitive in something like DecaFit, High Rock, something like that.
So do we think, as a general broad question then all round, do we think that OCR, CrossFit, functional fitness is going to survive COVID? Because like, for instance, here in England, we still haven't got gyms open. They haven't been open 5 weeks and they're probably not going to be open for another, well, I don't think gyms will be open in that close proximity for another 5-6 weeks, maybe. Mm. Outdoor fitness is slowly opening. I'm allowed to open from Monday, only a 5 people allowed. I've got a CrossFit box literally opposite me and we take the piss out of you though, because we're the runners that do outdoor-y, riggy, monkey things and they're the guys that can't run for shit and heel strike and make funny noises when they're running down the road and we all take the piss out of them. But
they call you weeds.
They call us weeds. But what's really strange...
Weeds? I like weeds. That. I'm starting to call my brother weed.
Weed. He's a weed. That's what
yes, do.
A weed. But what's really interesting is they've just approached me or they've approached me about doing a bit of outdoor training. And I've gone, you won't last 5 seconds in my field on a rig, or you won't last, you know, you... And it's really interesting.
Money, Jack. What are you doing?
No, at all. No, it's a banter thing. It's good. But my worry is like... Because these people aren't training indoor gyms at the minute, especially in England and in Europe, like, our gym's going to really start to struggle. Are we going to see a bit of a knock-on effect, do you think? Or do you think it will actually be the opposite way? And because even racing isn't it about yet? Like, we can't train, we can't plan. Yeah.
But I think it's just, it's like with everything, you know, in the history of man, like, shit happens and you have to adapt. And if you don't adapt, you die. So that's why I think what Spartan did with this, they weren't planning on doing a Deca Mile or the Deca Strong. They had their competition that was the whole 10K or 8K, whatever it was, or 5K, I don't remember. And they realized that they weren't going to be able to pull off this big, you know, event with lots of people together. So they found a way to make, you know, smaller events that people can even host, like, just inside their gym, you know, when they reopen. And basically they found a way to adapt around it. Like, honestly, if you ask me, like, regular, like the US National Series, like regular outdoor Spartan events, I think are going to take a while to come back. I think that's going to take a big hit for a while, just because, I mean, it's so many people together that, you know, everybody's touching all these same obstacles. And it's like, you know, I love it. From day one, I've been, you know, all about it, but like, they're going to have to adapt in some kind of way, you know? And I think these industries will be fine, but they can't be stubborn. You know, they need to find a way to adapt to the changing world we have going on around us.
Yeah. If the world happens, are you going to be there, and are we going to see a Kempson showdown?
Oh, I'll be there for sure. Actually, I think me and Ryan in the 100 meter would be a really good competition, because he's got more speed than me, just as far as like leg quickness goes. But I think I can take him on just about every obstacle. So.
Let's talk about your brother, Matthew. Obviously, I've listened to Ryan a lot on other podcasts, and we've chatted to him obviously on our podcast. And he talks about growing up with you as a brother. Let's hear your side of it. So where did it all really start? Where did OCR really go? Because obviously you've been ipping into basketball and things like that, and ball sports. Where did the whole OCR come in, and how did it come in? And
who's the most vicious?
Talk us through that.
When you're being competitive against each other.
He's by far, I mean, we're different types of competitors. He is...
willing to die for it? I've never seen anyone like finish and just be like, every time.
We both are, but like, it's kind of funny because like, he really cares about winning. And because of that, he like is extremely methodical. He's extremely focused. He's like, and he's, I'm trying to think of a good player to compare him to, but almost like a Tom Brady. You guys probably aren't into football, but like, you know, he crosses the T's and dots the I's. And I've always been just much more of a raw athlete. And like, it's not that I put any less effort in, but I'm just much more like, I enjoy the competition so much. And it's not so much about winning. It's just about actually competing for me. And because of that, like, I'm willing to die for it too, but kind of in a different way. So like, if you put us both head to head, there's going to be a lot of bloodshed and, you know, things are going to get ugly. But we're just both going to attack it from totally different angles, which I think is kind of like, it's cool. It balances us out. But geez, when did it all start? I mean, my brother was not a very nice older brother to me. Beat the crap out of me again. I mean, like, I would walk home from school and he would get home before me, and I'd walk up the driveway and I would start hearing like little metal ricochets going off like the roof of the shed and stuff.
He's far.
And
it was
my brother up in, he'd lock the door of the house and he'd be up in my room out the second floor window shooting BBs at me. Like, yeah. I mean, just like from day one, it was just like, just absolute, you know, it was an absolute brawl. We fought, you know, I've punched my brother more times than I punched anybody else in my life, and I'm sure vice versa. You know, I probably have 3 or 4 concussions from him.
Wow.
But
his brotherly love. Yes,
it was rough. It was a very rough upbringing. But then when we turned about 18 or 19, we started getting a lot closer. And the first event we ever did was the university I was going to had an adventure race that was just like super raw. It was like, paddle a canoe around this lake, get out, carry the canoe a mile on your back, and then get in and paddle it around the lake again with no paddles and just your hands. And then like, and then you, it was like two guys and a female. So it was my girlfriend at the time. And it was like, carry the female for a mile, like on this piece of rope. Like it was crazy. And I mean, we like, you know, at the time, like he came down to visit me to like, and we were just partying. We were out to like 3 or 4 in the morning. We woke up, like almost missed our start time, like stumbled up to the start line and we're going and we're just like having a blast, you know, paddling this canoe around and whatnot. And next thing you know, we like come across the finish line. We're like, how'd we do? How'd we do? And they're like, what do you mean? You guys are the first ones here. Like you guys win. And we didn't even realize it. Cause you know, we're competing against the triathlon team and the cross country team. And like, we're all there and we kicked all their butts just cause it was like, we had never been able to kind of test our skill set in this sort of like, this raw, like, you know, woodsman style event. And that was the first one we did. And then actually after that, we did the world championship in Vermont in 2013.
Well, that was our first proper OCR, was the world champ.
Yeah. We got our butts handed to us. I mean, like, I think I maybe finished like 27th or something like that. But like, I mean,
it's not bad.
I'm not even proud of that because I was deliriously walking half the thing. Like I didn't know what the heck was going on. Ryan had to pull out at one point. And we didn't know anything about nutrition. He had all of our nutrition with him. And when he pulled out, I was left with nothing, no water, no. And this, we're talking, this is like the winter was like a 4 hours at that point. So like I was coming in at like high fours and like, it was god awful. I didn't know what a spear throw was. I didn't know what a like, you know, and bucket carry, like what, fill this bucket with rocks. Like, and, yeah, so we got our butts handed to us and that kind of like, that made me, I just put a fire on my butt. I was like, man, I can kick ass at this thing. So I'm just going to, and I buckled down. I took the next like 6 months and I was like, I was training in a weight vest through the snow and the rain, waking up at 4 a.m. every morning and just like, I'm going to do this. And then I came out the next season and had a pretty good, series and like the whole U.S. pretty good results in the U.S. national series. But it took like a year before I could get my brother kind of on board with it. He was kind of like, yeah, you're running around in the mud. Like, go have fun. Like that was cool once, but like, I don't want to be doing this all the time. And so I just started buying him plane tickets to races. I would sign him up. I would register because you got free codes when
that's
you want
to
race.
Brother. You can be my brother.
Yeah. So I just started buying him plane tickets, signing him up for races and just kind of like forced him into it.
That does seem to be the way it goes. You do your first and you either get your ass handed to you and you never come back again, or you get your ass handed to you and you go, that was so hard and I loved it and I'm going to completely change my life for the next 6 months and focus on it.
And so, I knew nothing about running. I'd never run like a mile to run a mile in my life. Like
and
I didn't know what.
And that's my next question, Matt. Do you like, so for someone that sort of got their asses handed to them, you like you say, throwing rocks in a freaking bucket and running around this mountain course and what have you. Like, where do you even start? I know where you start, but at that time, where did you go for a coach? Did you Google it? Did you, I mean, you know, was it a YouTube thing? What, I mean, how did you even get started?
No, I was playing rugby at the time. So I was like, I was in pretty decent like cardio shape.
But in short bursts.
In short bursts, yeah. But so I started kind of like, you guys know what the Australian beep test is?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I'd use that as every 2 weeks, I'd use that as like my indicator. And I just started running. Like I didn't have a watch. I didn't have anything. And I would run a lot with a weight vest, which ended up destroying one of my knees. So that was kind of a mistake. You know, you live and learn from that, but I would just run. And I like would practice running on the kind of terrain that we would run on in the races. So really steep, like up and down hills. And, I'd probably run about 100% effort every single time I ran.
Oh yeah, classic.
I got it. You know, I didn't know. That's how I trained for other, you know, other sports. And then throughout the years, I kind of, you know, a lot of reading, a lot of research. I was partnering up with Ian Hosek for a while. We did a lot of stuff together. I learned a lot from him. Learned a lot from working with Hunter, learned a lot from working. I would live with John Yatsko for a summer, learned a lot from him. Now up here in Boulder, one of my best friends is, Nell Rojas. Yeah. And she, you know, she just, would come in 9th or 10th at the Olympic trials. Yeah. So obviously like, you know, that girl knows a lot about, endurance. And what's cool about her is that she's not like, she's a strong runner. She's a very, very, probably, I think, the strongest of all the girls who went to that Olympic marathon trials. She's, you know, can outlift every one of them by 100 pounds.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of just pick things up along the way and just like a lot of trial and error, figuring out what worked and what didn't work.
How does it work? Sorry, go on, Jack.
No, I was going to say, that's really sweet. I think especially our listeners, they can almost relate to that because you're normal, Matt. You're normal. You know, yes, you are sort of what I would call a star, and you've done, you know, I mean, like you said earlier, you alluded to it, you've been in OCR for a long time, probably one of the longest times, to be fair.
OG.
And your brother, you were an OG. Yeah, exactly. And for people that have followed you and know you, you've had some fucking great big races, you know, and you've done really well. Smashed all different types of races, like you say. But to think that you just come from fucking yourself over on a 4.5 hour course to not really knowing anything and look where you are now.
Yeah,
I know you're not quite still racing the Spartans like your brother is, and we'll get there in a minute. But I mean, my next question is, do you think you found your sport, Matt? Do you think there's another sport out there you're better at, or do you think you've actually physically found your sport?
Ooh, that's a great question. I honestly think if my body had held up, rugby was my sport. Just because it requires so much endurance, but also like with, you know, short explosiveness. But after 2 years of competitive rugby, I just like my shoulders started giving out, my wrists started giving out. Geez, another sport. God. There is, I know there is, and I'm going to find it.
So that is your
question. You watch me, five years from now, I'll find what's my jam.
Yeah.
I mean, cool. Exactly. I mean, I always say it about like OCR. If there was an event where just like this little part of it was tweaked, you know, maybe there's this much less running or it was this type of running, like I don't think anybody could beat me. Right. You know, if it was like a little bit more catered to my skill sets, but like, that's like,
you know, we can all say that.
Everybody
has a liar.
Specific skill set. And if there's an event specifically made for that, of course they're going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've been living with Hunter for too long.
Yeah, you have been living with Hunter too long. Make his own sport up.
Win.
Thing is, you're exposed at the minute, I guess, to so many different athletes. So, who have you got now? You've got Johnny, Nell, you're near Nicole, aren't you? You've got Hunter, Dylan.
John, Nell, Nicole, Hunter, Dylan, Aaron just moved back. Gosh, who else do we have?
Nick
around
Sully
here?
Is there, any?
You got Sully's here.
Loads of good runners.
Andy Wacker's here. He's up in hyper quarantine. I don't think he's seen the light of day in in a couple months. But and then we actually have some really good CrossFit athletes. Some like you know, I think one of the guys, our buddy Wags, was one of the, I think he was either first or second in Colorado for the CrossFit Open last year. So we have some super, super high level athletes. And then we've got, I mean, like a bunch of strongmen out here. Brian Shaw is out here. We've got a bunch of guys down in Denver. There's a pretty big strongman community down in Denver. So I mean, just hitting it from every single angle, you know, like I could train with an entirely different type of athlete every day of the week. But all of them, you know, which in one way or another would complement what we do in OCR.
Please make my day, Matthew, and say that Hunter walks into the strongman gym going, who wants me? Please tell me he does that.
The mullet,
yeah, that mullet is hard to contain. It is that it is hard to ignore these days. It's pretty strong.
So, when you've got all of these athletes around, is it not really hard to just go, "Oh, I'll do a bit of that, and I'll do a bit of that with you, and I'll do a bit of this with you"? Or do you still stay really focused on your stuff?
No, like I think there's different. Like that's the difference between, for example, like I was talking about the difference between me and my brother. He's super hyper focused, and like, if he was put in the environment that I'm in, he would put his blinders on, right? And stay down the road. And there's other, like Ryan Kent's out here about 30 minutes away. And that's what he does. He stays to his regimen. He puts his blinders on. He doesn't let anything else distract him. And that's fine. That's the type of athletes they are. I sort of feed off of that energy, you know? Like I know that if I can keep changing things up and keep things fresh and keep learning more from this person and this person, and this person, even if it detracts a little, you know, even if my road winds a little bit and it's not a straight beeline, I'm picking up so much valuable knowledge and energy from these people that I think it's, for me, it's the only way to go about it. If I was in a cabin by myself in the woods, you know, with nothing to do but train and stare at the trees all day, I would go nuts and I'd probably perform terribly. So I need that kind of energy around me.
And you've definitely got a lot of energy. What's Johnny like for living with? Because Johnny's a very cool, focused guy, isn't he? Like,
oh, Johnny is so focused. I mean, Johnny was from, he'll probably walk in here at any minute, but from gosh, I don't know, maybe like 10 years old, he went down this road of like super competitive soccer. You know, he was on track to play in the MLS, and which you guys might, you know, laugh about, whatever. But very, very good soccer player. And so he's just like kind of was bred from day one to have this like hyper disciplined, you know, drive to perform at the highest level in whatever sport he was doing. And that kid loves the mountains. Like, I think some people say they love the mountains, you know, and they just love taking pictures in the mountains maybe. But Johnny is up there every freaking day. I mean, we've got this climb. It's like called a scramble, I guess, maybe 10 minutes away, called the Second Flat Iron. And we go up it all the time. I'm probably up it once a week, and it's pretty steep. Like, it's about 45 degrees, straight up this rock face for 750 feet. So it's like not for the faint of heart. It's borderline rock climbing. But it's like, it's a great little, you know, fitness tester. And it's a lot of fun. Like, we just do it because it's fun. Johnny's on that thing probably 5 to 6 times a week. I mean, he'll go up on a Sunday and do 3 laps on the thing. Like, I mean, he's just in the mountains all day long. You know, if you look at like the FKTs in Boulder, like almost, you know, on Strava, they're just like slowly all saying Johnny Luna Lima at the top of them. So that kid is just, he's hyper focused. And his girlfriend, like Bailey, was a pretty good, God, what was her event? Maybe cross.
Was it?
She smashed a triathlon, isn't she, on the road?
Yeah.
Now she's just killing everyone's FKTs in the mountains.
I forget which distance she was at, but she'd never trail run her life. She started dating Johnny, and Johnny's like, come play in the mountains with me. And then I guess
that's how you do it.
Right? And it was like the trail running champs in the bar trail race, I think, which is like, what's like 8 miles up, 8 miles down or something. Or sorry, 4 miles up, 4 miles down. And anyway, she'd never run a trail race in her life. Johnny trained her up for a few weeks for this thing, and she finished like second. And on top of that, she fell and smashed her knee and hip in and whatnot, and still finished second place. Like, yeah. God. So she's going to be like, she's got a lot of potential still in her.
Oh, I'm so jealous, boys. We need to be in the mountains in America.
I wish we had mountains. We've got like a small hill every night.
My biggest hill is 200 feet.
Hey, make it work.
Stop excuses, all I hear. Excuses.
Yeah. I actually did a session where I just went up and down a quarter mile for an hour the other day, and I loved it. I just switched my brain off, and then I was like, oh, it's over.
Honestly, a lot of the people that move out to the mountains out here, they just like, they grow dreadlocks and become hippies and just like, and they disappear into the mountains and you never see them again.
Yeah.
So, what happened to Isaiah? Where's he gone?
God, I wish I knew. Maybe I don't wish I knew. I have no, he used to live down in the Springs, not too far away, but God, I haven't heard from him since High Rocks last year. And we maybe exchanged 3 words there. So.
3 choice words.
So, if we,
you know, I got it before we move on to that.
Oh, go on. Give us some juice.
I love Isaiah as a competitor. Like, a lot of, there's been a lot of beef between us and whatever. That's, you know, that's the media's drama, whatever. But he's the most, probably the most fun person. You know, like, if I had like one more race.
He's so serious.
He is. But if I had one more race and I was going to die tomorrow and they're like, who do you want to compete against? It'd be Isaiah. Because he's just such a fierce competitor. And like, sure, he's done a lot of sketchy stuff, maybe cutting some corners, whatever. But like, he's there to battle. And I love that. You know, like, we get in the stadium races, we get physical. I'm talking like elbows, some shirt grabbing, some like, I'm pretty sure someone's been tripped at some point intentionally. But like, I love that. You know, coming from contact sports background, like, that's like, dude, if every race could be like that, I would cherish it. So. Even though he's like, he's kind of like, I always say he's like the Joker to my Batman, right? Like, he's like, he's like total, he's he's like total evil, but like, without him, my life doesn't have as much purpose, you know?
No purpose.
Like, you know, like that scene at the end where the, was it like Batman Dark Knight Rises, where the Joker's like, I could kill you, but this is just too much fun. You know, like, that's totally how I feel. So anyways, that's my rant.
Do you know what? In Tahoe last year, I sat in a hot tub with, I think it was John Alban, Ryan Atkins, and he came up and he got in the hot tub. He did not say a word for about an hour. And we were all talking. He just sat there blank-faced, then got out and went back to his hotel room. And like, he had Tyler Veerman with him. And Tyler's the same. I'm like, come on, guys, at least chat. Do you know what I mean? It's like, what?
Have you been watching The Spartan Rewinds? No. With like him and April D were dating, and I was like, come on, you two, crack a smile. You're like scaring me a little bit.
Man, I bet me and Isaiah have been pretty tight from, about 2014. He was the first person I like had a rivalry with in the sport. And it's been that story from day one. We've gone up and down. We've had times where we're pretty good friends, and then we have times where the whatever's the opposite of a really good friend. Total enemies. And it's like, honestly, I love it. It's just like, it just makes life so much more interesting, you know?
So if we still had races at the minute, would you have still put your body through training for Murph?
God, that was, my body's never hurt so much in my entire life for training for anything else. And it's also recovery wise has never been worse. Come back from that event. So yesterday we hiked up that Flatiron, but that was the first time in 5 days that I've been able to like even walk.
Oh my God.
How's Hunter? Can Hunter walk?
He's fine.
Bastard.
He's fine. Like, he did it again on Monday.
No.
Yeah. It pisses me off. But, he's fine. But training for it it's just so repetitive. It's just like, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of push-ups and pull-ups and squats per week. Yeah.
We're not designed for that shit, are we? Let's be fair. People would argue we're not designed for OCR, but at the end of the day, we're really not designed to be pushing and squatting and, like...
Over and over and over.
It's going to take a serious toll on your body.
With a weight vest on.
Yeah,
exactly. And we were doing it with weight vests, bands, no bands, like, you know, you name it. But like even CrossFit, which is like a bunch of repetitive movements, it's like 20 repetitive movements, right? Not three. Yeah. So you at least get a little bit of variety there. And this is just like, So, I mean, I'll definitely train for it again. I train for it every year. And I'll definitely train for it next year. And I'm pretty confident I can set the record next year. Until then, I'm taking a break from that stuff for a while.
I
have to say that it was for someone that's not really into CrossFit, which I'm not, I was glued to Hunter's Instagram. I was just like that. I was even cutting the lawn, like with one hand on my phone, just watching the live feed because it was exciting for me, like to watch it. And I was like, fuck me, Matt's winning. Why are we talking about Hunter? Matt is kicking his ass. What's going on? And then he went for a run, and the comments went nuts. Like, who's that guy? Yeah. Who's that guy? Who's that guy?
I know. Like, and it sucks that whole thing kind of got tainted. There was a lot of drama involved around that, but it was like, that's how it goes. But you know, me and him trained our butts off for 3 months. You know, both of us going to beat this record, and we didn't like. We never really had the conversation about like, well, what happens if you get it? What happens if you get it? You know, it was just always like, we both just said, we're both training for the record. And then we got there and there was like a miscommunication. There was no officially assigned judge for me. I still thought that there was, cause there was kind of like a head judge. And I thought that he was going to like be monitoring me, even though, he was giving most of his attention to Hunter. And that kind of all fell through. And it was like, we went off at 6 o'clock in the morning on East Coast. That's like 4 o'clock in the morning at that time. There's like, some people are like, why don't you just go find a judge? I was like, where are you going to find a judge at, 4 o'clock in the morning? Like, you know, like what? Like, no, it doesn't like, you know, you can't like find, you can't just like, you know, you can't find an app for that or whatever. But, and then like, as it started going on, like, I was just feeling really good. Like, you know, I know like, I definitely had a handful of reps that would have been no reps and whatnot, but like I felt really good. And then I took off and I was like, well, shit, this could be a problem.
At what point did you slow down going, I can't be Hunter. I fucking can't be Hunter.
Was it Matt? Apparently said, oh, what rep are you on in the squats? And you were like, oh, 215. He's like, Hunter's on 215.
I mean, like, if you know me and Hunter, like I would die before I just like, you know, conceded an event to him. So there was no, like, once I took off for that run, there was no way, you know, there was no way I was going to slow down and let him catch me, you know?
I love it.
There we go. It is a brutal event. I tried to have a little go at it, but I couldn't get somewhere to do the pull-ups outside, unfortunately. But it was my legs for about 3 or 4 days afterwards. I was like, oh.
That is tough. And honestly, what I really want to know is like how like Lieutenant Michael Murphy did at that, you know, because that was his workout. Like he must have crushed that thing. And I would love to see, but I haven't been able to find any, you know, anywhere where he wrote down any times or anything like that.
I don't know. To be fair, I can't do those pull-ups that you do because I'm so into it. It's a bit like you were saying about, kipping. For some reason, I can't do it. I'm so into like, I've got to do strict pull-ups. But I was so proud of myself the other day because I did 24 with 3.5 kilo weight vest. And I was like, these guys are doing 100 with. I was like, I couldn't even do 100 strict normal pull-ups and I can't do one kipping. So I'm not even going to attempt it.
Where do you, out of interest, where do you start training?
Everything hurts. This hurts. These hurt. Sorry, what's that? Yeah.
I was going to say, where did you start training? Like, what was your first go-to for you? Was it the pull-up side of things? I mean, squats, you'd like to think that anyone could do 300 squats if we asked to.
No, so we tested it. I mean, like, we were very methodical about this thing. We tested every 2 weeks for, like, the entire process. And the first test realized the squats.
The hardest.
The squats is where all the time could be made up. Because we came in at, like, you know, maybe 5 minutes. For the first time, we did it, like, 5 minutes for the pull-ups. 8 minutes for the push-ups and it was like 10, 11 minutes for the squats. Ooh. And that's like, you know, that's so obviously the biggest time to be made up is on those squats. So just like, we were just squatting so much, with like vests and then bands on top of the vests and we'd go tempos, we would go sprints. We'd go like, oh God, it felt so terrible.
How much have your quads grown?
I put on 17 and a half pounds.
Shit. Wow.
In
3 months.
There you go, Tash. Don't ever say you're skinny ever again.
My normal racing weight for if I was to do like, you know, a long distance OCR would be like 155. Mm-hmm. And for Murph, I was like 172 probably. About 170.
Dang. So that was a big difference.
Did you enjoy getting back out in Tahoe and doing the beast course, Matt? You look like you enjoyed
God,
that.
Yes. Oh my God, I love that. I guess I hadn't done an outdoor race for a year or two. And I had so much fun with that. Like I just had a smile on my face the whole time. I was like, oh my God, I don't want to do this anymore. And the funny thing was like I came through and I stacked my time up compared to the field. And I was like, shit, I would have come in 12th.
Without even specifically training for it.
Yeah, I went for three runs before it. Went for three mountain runs. And it was funny because I went with Nicole and I maybe went on 12, 13 miles and, you know, up like two peaks and I was dying. Like couldn't, like I'm just like walking dehydrated, out of energy. Like I could not keep up. So I thought I was going to get my butt whooped when I got there, but I guess I don't know. It felt good.
It's just like riding a bike.
it is just like riding a bike. Like that stuff comes back to you, which is, so I've been given thought if they have it, if they go through with it, they're supposed to have the Ultra Championship, World Championship in Vermont this year.
Yeah.
In Killington. And that's my home mountain. You know, I grew up 10 minutes from there.
So
I like, if things line up, I might be into that.
Ooh, yeah. That would be pretty cool. Like putting on 17 pounds and doing Murph and then a 6 months later doing a 24-hour ultra race.
Exactly. The only thing I got to look in is if it lines up with the High Rocks World Championship in Amsterdam. Cause that's right now, like that's my main focus is hitting a podium at that.
And it's very close to the world champs and you've got to beat your brother. So
A lot going on. That's all right. Lev is short.
So
none of us will be racing much before then. So, you know,
It'll just be training till then.
I'm loving my training, but now I'm like seeing all, I think I've watched every Spartan live broadcast
keep digging back.
Those old ones are best. That's a good old ones. I saw a very young Matthew on one I was watching the other day, and he really did look young.
I
don't know which one it was. I can't remember.
Really?
Fresh face.
God.
You were young.
They started filming those in 2014.
Yeah.
So, yeah, six, seven years ago.
Yeah.
I was a young buck then, yeah.
It's amazing how time
changes. Training like for you now then, Matt, after you finished Murph training? Are you going to be looking at something else to train for, or are you just going to spread out?
Hyrox.
Hyrox. Hyrox Amsterdam. That's my sights set on that. You know, I'm actually fortunate because I would have missed the world championship had it been in March or April, because I was still recovering from knee surgery. So this is kind of like another, you know, a second chance at getting to do the, you know, getting to compete at the first real competitive Hyrox world championship. And so I think I need to put on another probably 7 or 8 pounds over the next month or two.
To move that sled, he'll need it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I got, you know, I came it down in Miami, which was the most competitive one so far. I was actually ahead of Isaiah came in second, and I was ahead of him until like the second to last station. But he had more strength than me to move. I think it was the farmer's carry and then the wall ball. He went unbroken for 100 wall balls.
Yeah, that was incredible. I watched that.
Which is brutal. Yeah. At the end of an event like that is extremely impressive. And so I need to put on, you know, like I said, another 7-8 pounds of muscle, and then start kind of honing it down and getting my running.
Is Hunter beatable, Matt?
Oof.
Have confidence in yourself. Quickly, say yes.
At that event,
we'll edit that.
Well, you know, because you know, because you train with him.
I'm not giving you a bullshit answer. That's why I'm taking time to think about it. Like, I'm being very serious about it.
Yeah.
And yes, we came into that Miami event, and I actually had a lot of confidence. I thought I was going to beat him, or at least it was going to be a really big dogfight. And a couple little things went wrong for me that I just wasn't prepared for. And that just always seems to be the key, is that he always, like, you know, he doesn't slip up where, you know, and if you do slip up, that's the changer, you know, the game changer right there.
He's a great competitor, isn't he? Let's be fair. He comes across as this is going to sound wrong, but he comes across like he hasn't thought about what he's doing and he's going in headstrong, but I'm pretty sure that guy has things written down to the nearest T.
Yeah, I think Hunter is more prepared than anyone. I can imagine him being like a scientist studying in between his sessions.
But I'll say this. I don't think he's going to be beaten by anybody outside of our, you know, our fitness world.
Yeah.
I think whoever beats him is going to be one of us in, you know, that's been competing at this stuff for years. Because, like, honestly, like, especially with all these, like, you know, TMX, Hyrox, like, you know, even stadium events and whatnot, like, I've seen it for like 3 or 4 years now that, like, somebody comes in from some other sport and they're like, and everybody's like, you know, somebody's buddy, and they're like, oh, he's gonna kick all your guys' asses at this. He's so fit and he's so strong and he used to run triathlons. And, like, you know, it just happens again and again and again. They get their butts handed to them. And, like, no, honestly, like, nobody's we've got like this little, like, you know, I'd say like me, Isaiah, Hunter, and then now, like, Kent's kind of come into the world of, like, this, like, shorter, higher strength stuff. Like, we've got a pretty tight lockdown on the top, you know, the podium for all these events, and nobody's really been able to penetrate it. So I kind of welcome anybody else to come in and who thinks that they can.
Ooh, the challenge.
What would your, say, top 5 bits of advice be for somebody who said, I've decided I'm going to stop Spartans and all this other stuff. I'm going to purely focus on something like Hyrox. What would be your tips to change in their training to prep for that?
I mean, how many
pounds would I have to put on?
Not everybody needs to put on weight. I mean, look at the girl.
I'm 47 kilos.
That's probably what the girl MK weighs.
MK's tiny, smaller than you.
How did you move that sled?
She's so fast, it's unreal.
That's like, honestly, strength and mass doesn't, mass and strength don't always, you know, correlate. You don't necessarily have to put on weight. I say that I need to put on weight because the rower and the rower and the skier and the sled actually require more mass. Like the more mass you have, the faster and easier you can move those things. That's why I say more weight. Yeah, I think I can get stronger without putting a lot of weight on. You know, I can put on 5 pounds of weight and put on and gain a ton of strength. So it's not necessarily like putting weight on for people. I think for the most part, it's because these events are so consistent, right? It's the same movements every time. You just have to like do a couple testers, figure out, like we're talking about with Murph and the squats, like figure out what you're the worst at, where you can gain the biggest ground, and don't be stubborn. You know, if you're already really good at the runs, you know, you're going to have to take back some of your running, and you're going to have to focus on the things that really matter. Or if you're already really strong, like don't be freaking stubborn and get better at running, you know?
It's definitely a commitment, isn't it? Like if you're a Spartan athlete already, like if you want to be good at that thing and actually rock it, then it's a commitment. Like you say, unfortunately, you're going to have to step back from your 60, 75 mile week running and go into more like carries and sled pulls and pushes and things like that. It's just one of those things, isn't it?
Yeah. Like a good example is Atkins for TMX in 2017. He came in, smashed it, almost beat Hunter. Given him and Hunter also, oh shit, you guys there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Him and Hunter also got to do the practice run of that course 2 weeks before, and nobody else did. So that's a little. I was a little frustrated about that, but anyways, Atkins almost beat Hunter in 2017. And then in 2018, we got this whole big group of guys who like just cracked down and trained their butts off for TMX. And Atkins couldn't even maybe top 20, you know, like he got pushed out so fast because he didn't train specifically for it.
Yeah.
And that's where the whole sport's coming to is if you think you can just get away with just being like kind of fit for everything, like you're going to get your butt whooped.
We've been saying this for a while, Luke, haven't we? Like when we started the podcast, OCR was, especially in the UK and Europe, OCR is a sport where if you're kind of a good runner and could do a few pull-ups, you're going to do quite well. But it's changing. Like even the last 2 years for us, you know, us guys at the top have trained so hard specifically for Spartan or for, you know, Stadions or whatever. Now that top 5-10, I've just gone whoop, and everyone else is a bit like, ah, shit, we're not quite there now. We have to be so specific. And now it's getting, like you say, even more specific with short course, with high rocks, with this, with that. And God knows what else is going to come out in the next few years, because there will be more and there'll be a hybrid mix and there'll be less running and, you know, strongman style. I'm waiting for strongman to come in. I'm waiting for a thing like really heavy to come in, because that will just...
So I actually really...
Oh, you can't see it, Jack.
Not at all.
I've been wanting to incorporate that. And I've like kind of been like formulating this like a whole race format in my mind. And would 100% incorporate strongman. And this is how, I won't get too much into it, but this is how I wanted to do it. So for example, like an Atlas Stone, right?
Yep.
You have some kind of, you know, a race, you know, not too long, but a race where you're doing running loops and whatnot. And then you come up to an Atlas Stone and there's either three weights or maybe three heights, whatever. And if you place the stone on the lowest height or the lowest weight, you have to run, let's say, a 150 meter loop after. If you get the second tier, you only have to run a 100 meter loop.
Yeah.
Maybe if you can lift the heaviest one and put it up there, you can skip that penalty loop altogether.
Oh, a bit like toughest do with their different.
Exactly. Exactly. But rather than with obstacles, like think of it more of like a strength side so that you can really, you can have like this, like, you know, squatty, super strong, but relatively fit guy actually finish side by side with someone who's, you know, the opposite build, a much, much leaner build. And it would it would just make, really, especially going like dueling with it, going one-on-one, be really exciting.
That'd be fun to watch, 100%. Yeah, yeah.
But Matt,
yeah.
Are you going to do your own race?
At some point, absolutely.
No. I'm waiting for Matt to have his own race team, and then I can be a part of it.
Team.
So actually,
I know this story.
Yeah, that's
I've been
actually
talking to your brother.
That's in the works too.
Yeah, 100%. Well, good.
What?
Yeah.
What?
We'll talk. Like, we'll have another podcast and we'll talk that, because Matt wants to go back to bed. All right, so let's do some quick fire rounds and let's get Matt back to bed, because he needs his sleep and food and training and lots more things. Right, here we go then. So Matt, you've lived with loads of people. You can only choose three people to live with. Go with it, and it could be anyone. Three people you have to live with the rest of your life with. Go.
Oh God, I gotta throw Hunter in there. We butt heads a lot. We butt heads a lot. You know, I think I got a lot of pride. He's got a big personality, but like at the end of the day, we have too much fun. We have way too much fun to not. You know, that is tough. Maybe Nicole. Nicole's a really good, she's a really good friend. She's a lot of fun. She's up for anything.
Yep.
And then, God, I'm missing out on somebody here.
You're going to miss out on those people.
Oh yeah. I know. You know who's a ton of fun. I'm just going to throw a wild card in there. No. I've lived with my brother before. I know how that works. I'm going to throw a wild card in there. Do you guys know who Chris Woolley is?
Chris Woolley.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've known him for maybe a couple hours total. He stayed out for a couple of days, but I think he would be a blast. Wow. He would be a blast to hang out with. Yeah. Notice I only pick people who drink beer. If anybody's not a big beer drinker, they're out. So that was the main quality.
I'm not sure I've seen Nicole drink that much beer, but there you go.
That's true. But you always need a house mom, you know.
You do need
a house. And it usually ends up being me.
Want a baby because she'd kill it.
She would, yeah. But I always end up being the house mom, so I kind of want someone else to take that responsibility, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
What's your favorite race, location, and type?
The Vermont Spartan they have is hard to beat, really hard to beat. But as far as type goes, man, Battle Frog was just too much fun. I like still to this day.
I'm gutted.
The amount of people that say that, why have they not come back? Matt, sort it out.
Well, they spent all the money on Atkins, so
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the crazy thing is they even had all of their obstacles were sitting in someone's yard down in like I think Alabama or Louisiana, and it just storage. And someone could, and they sold them for pennies on the dollar. Yeah. And someone, you know, I wasn't in a position to do it at that time, but like I wish I, you know, could go back and just like scoop that up and just put on two events a year and make them really successful, and they would have kicked ass.
Should have asked Hunter, he would have gone on yet, surely. Hunter's got plenty of money, he could have bought it for you.
I've got a question for all three of you.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Okay. We're doing a 5K race. Who is your fictional character to win? Matt, you go first. You get first pick.
Like Super Mario? Super Mario?
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. You can have Super Mario. And
Sonic.
Why?
It's got to be Sonic.
Oh, Sonic's a good one. Fictional character?
Roadrunner as well?
Tasmanian Devil?
Yeah, there's loads.
Is he quick enough?
Have you seen him move?
Matt's going to come left field now.
I had a really good one. But probably, I was... Donkey Kong from Mario Kart. Yeah. Probably him. total wild card.
We're not going to take too much more of your time, mate. Absolute pleasure having you on. It's been
another one now.
Yeah, I'm sorry it's been 2 hours, to be fair, but 2 hours, 2 years since we've had you on. But yeah, it's as good as I thought it was going to be.
Hey, great chatting with you guys.
We'll
have another one because you've just given me a teaser and then gone, we'll talk about it later.
You gotta dangle the carrot a little bit.
You gotta dangle.
Keep them guessing.
Matthew, where can people find you if they want to social media you? Where's best to look you up?
At Rocky Mountain Kempson. Post just about everything there. My website is up, kempsondesigns.com. Be a lot more to come within the next couple months on there.
Sweet. And I see you're selling pull-up bars, so if you're stuck at home with nothing to train on.
Yeah, I'm actually basically sold out. I got like two left. So they went really well, but yeah.
Better get to work then, mate.
Yeah, get building.
That's where I'm heading right now, if you guys would let me get off the phone, you know?
On that note, cheers, Matt.
See you in the desert.
Cheers, guys.
Oh, damn, that was a really good one. That was a very insightful episode, I believe. I think we've managed to cover about 10 to 12 subjects, maybe more.
Yeah, and to be fair, we could have gone forever. You know, like, oh, yeah. He's the sort of guy that when you get chatting and chat and chat, you're like, shit, nearly 2 hours has gone here. We're still chatting shit. But all good stuff, obviously. Could have gone forever with Matt. We'll probably get him on again. You know, there's a whole load there that I'm now we're off the podcast. I'm thinking, didn't ask him that, really talk about that. So we'll definitely have him on again. I quite like the idea of getting them both on and they can do like a battle royale between the Kempston brothers. And I still think, like, Matty, you know, we watched him at Tahoe, like we said, he's still got some legs on him for a big boy. You know, he can still run. He's an amazing athlete, and I'm really glad we got to chat to him today. And I think we saw the true Matt Kempston. You know, Hunter wasn't there, so he's a little bit calmer. We got the true, you know, cracking Matt Kempston that doesn't always come out on the race course. Obviously, he's this very giddy guy, but down to earth, real nice guy. I really enjoyed that episode.
No, top episode. Great to chat to him. I think everybody will enjoy it.
Yeah, for sure. Right, see you in the next one. Bye.
Bye, guys.